إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا من سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار Alhamdulillah, we praise Allah and we seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray, and whoever is led astray, then there is no guide for him. I bear witness that no God has the right to be worshipped other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners, and I bear witness that Muhammad is His slave and His messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as you ought to be feared, and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord who has created you from a single soul and created from it its mate, and scatter from them too many men and women. And fear Allah from you, demand your mutual rights, and don't cut off relations with the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is the Raqib over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct, in order that He may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins, and whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has achieved the greatest achievement. Amma ba'du. Certainly the most truthful speech is the Book of Allah, and the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this deen, and every newly invented matter in this deen is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is a straying, and every straying is in the fire. We want to kind of pick up where we left off with our last lesson around building the community, inshallah ta'ala. And we want to remind ourselves first, and then we want to bring about, or we want to mention some of the points that might be helpful for us in establishing something for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith of al-Bukhari, لَا يَأْتِي عَلَيْكُمْ زَمَانٌ إِلَّا الَّذِي بَعْدَهُ شَرٌ مِنْهُ حَتَّى تَلْقَوْا رَبَّكُمْ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, there never comes a time except where the time after it is worse than the one before it until you meet your Lord. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this hadith, which we wanted to begin with, is showing us that as the time goes, the people become worse and worse until Allah establishes the Day of Judgment. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says in the hadith of al-Bukhari al-Muslim, إِنَّهُ لَيَأْتِ الرَّجُلُ الْعَظِيمُ السَّمِينُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ لَا يَزِنُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ جُنَاحَ بُعُودًا. And this is collected by al-Bukhari al-Muslim, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, indeed there will come a magnificent, heavy man on the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah, but he won't weigh the wing of a mosquito in the sight of Allah. And this is collected by al-Bukhari and Muslim. And this hadith, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shows us that you might be big in this world because of your status or your wealth or whatever, but on Yawm al-Qiyamah is not going to mean anything, because on that day there's going to be another yardstick that's going to be used other than the one that the people use in this world. So-and-so has a lot of money, everybody likes him and thinks that he's Mr. Big Shot. Or so-and-so, he has a position with the people because of whatever, the leader or what have you. But on Yawm al-Qiyamah, this doesn't mean anything in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this hadith leads us to what we want to mention, insha'Allah ta'ala, from the hadith of Imam Ahmad and al-Bukhari and Adab al-Mufrad. Qila lil-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ما خير ما أعطي العبد المسلم قال خلق حسن. It was said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is the best thing that a Muslim servant can be, Muslim slave of Allah can be given? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, good character. Now I wanted to relate this to the two hadith that we had mentioned. As the time goes on, the character is going to diminish from the people. And some of the people may have a position with the rest of the people, even if they don't have the character to go along with it. But it won't benefit them on Yawm al-Qiyamah, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to be looking for other than what the people are looking for in this world of the status and wealth and what have you. وسئل عائشة رضي الله عنها عن خلق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقالت كان خلقه القرآن. And this is from the narration of Imam Muslim. وعائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها, she was asked, and what was the character of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم? And she said, his character was the Qur'an. Meaning what you find of the commandments in the Qur'an, you found that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam obeyed those commandments and also commanded the people with them. Or you find where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited the believers from something, you saw the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam being the first to stay away from it and then prohibiting the people from it, and like that exemplifying what we find in the book of Allah, the Qur'an. And one of the narrations of Ahmad and At-Tirmidhi, and it's also authentic, سُئِلَ عَائِشَةُ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا عَنْ خُلِقَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فَقَالَتْ كَانَ أَحْسَنَ النَّاسِ خُلُقًا لَمْ يَكُنْ فَاحِشًا وَلَا مُتَفَحِّشًا وَلَا صَخَّابًا بِالْأَسْوَاقِ وَلَكِنْ يَعْفُو وَيَصْفَح. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, when she was asked about the character of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said he had the finest character from amongst the people, and that he wasn't bad or had bad character in general, nor did he speak badly, nor was he a loud mouth in the marketplace sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rather, he used to pardon and overlook sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran describes this Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the statement, wa innaka la'ala khuluqin azim, and indeed you are on the most magnificent character, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes his Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Surah Al-Qalam. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, he says in the hadith of At-Tirmidhi and Ahmad, and it's authentic, inna min ahabbikum ilayya wa aqrabikum وأقربكم مني مجلسا يوم القيامة أحاسنكم أخلاقا. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, indeed, the ones who are most beloved to me and the ones who will be closest to me in the gatherings on Yawm al-Qiyamah are those with the best character. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, خياركم إسلاما أحاسنكم أخلاقا إذا فقهوا. And this is from the narration of Imam Ahmad and Al-Bukhari in Al-Adab Al-Mufrad and Al-Sahih, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the best of you with your Islam is the best of you with your character, provided that you get a fiqh or an understanding of this deen with actions to go along with it. And this point is important for us to always remember, with the fiqh of this deen or the understanding of this deen, is practice that go along with it. If the practice doesn't go along with a person's understanding, then the book is just as good as he is. Or like nowadays, if they say the computer is just as good as he is, or a parrot is just as good as he is, to just parrot off information. But the fiqh, or the real understanding, is understanding and actions that go along with them. As many of the ulama explain the fiqh in this deen, as it comes in some of the hadith of the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And we can understand from this hadith of the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wa salam, that if somebody knows and he doesn't practice what he knows, then he's not from amongst who the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is speaking about when he said, the ones of you best in Islam is the ones with the best character. So let us not think, as sometimes we do, unfortunately, we think that the one who knows the most is the best from amongst us. The one who knows the most is the best from amongst us. Maybe the one who knows the most has the possibility of becoming the best from amongst us, but it doesn't mean that he's the best from amongst us. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. And in one of the other narrations, صالح الأخلاق, and this is collected by Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah in his Adab al-Mufrad, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I have only been sent as a messenger to perfect high moral character. عن أنس رضي الله عنه قال خدمت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم 10 سنين فما قال لي أف قط وما قال لي لشيء صنعته لما صنعت ولا لشيء تركته لما تركت وكان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من أحسن الناس خلقا ولا مسست خزا ولا حريرا ولا شيئا ألين من كف رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ولا شممت مسكا قط ولا عطرا كان أطيب من عرق النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كما كتب البخاري المسلم وأنس رضي الله عنه said I served the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم for 10 years and he never said uff to me or a word that would show his displeasure of me صلى الله عليه وسلم. And he never said to anything that I did, why'd you do that? Nor did he ever say to anything that I didn't do, why didn't you do that? And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had the best character of the people. And I haven't felt any silk or something like that, or anything at all that was more softer than the hand of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nor have I ever smelt any misk or any other oil that was more sweeter and its smell than the sweat of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. In this narration, Anas radiallahu anhu, as Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, describes the character of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the people of the Sunnah, Ahl Sunnah, they should be the people who exemplify the character of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam more so than anyone else. The people who follow the Messenger of Allah, they exemplify his character more than anyone else. The Prophet ﷺ, he says in this narration of Al-Hakim, and it's authentic, Al-Haya'u wal-Imanu qarnan qarina jami'an fa'idha rufi'a ahaduhuma rufi'a al-akhar. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, modesty or al-haya or shame and iman are always together. And if one of them is removed, then the other is removed. If one of them is removed, then the other is removed. And the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, al-haya'u min al-iman. And that's from the narration of Imam Muslim where he says, Al-haya or modesty is from iman. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Al-haya'u la ya'ti illa bi khair. And this is the narration of Al-Bukhari and Muslim, where the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Al-haya doesn't bring anything but good. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith of al-Bukhari, إِنَّ مِمَّا أَدْرَكَ النَّاسُ مِنْ كَلَامِ النَّبُوَّةِ الْأُولَى إِذَا لَمْ تَسْتَحِي فَاصْنَعْ مَا شِئْتَ. Where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, indeed that which the people have come to know of from the speech of the prophets or the early prophethood is that if you don't have any modesty, then do whatever you want. If you don't have any modesty, then do whatever you want. And this statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam isn't like some people might misunderstand it. And that is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, somebody might say, he said, do whatever you like. But the Messenger of Allah alayhi wasallam says it just the way we say it sometimes. Go ahead, do it. Like that. And when you say it to somebody, you, on one hand, you try to tell him to do it if he thinks he's brave enough. But really what you mean is stay away from it if you had any better sense than you have. Like for the brothers who were spreading the tapes of Faisal out of London, trying to lead the people astray after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had guided them to the sunnah. And they were just told, sell them if you want to. Go ahead and sell them tapes. And the people understood that that means don't sell the tapes. So this statement from the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, on the one hand he's saying, if you don't have any shame, do whatever you want. It doesn't mean do whatever you want. And on the other meaning of some of the ulama, they explain that what's meant from it, if you don't have any shame, then you might just do whatever you want. If you don't have any shame, then that's what you might do, whatever you want. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. An Abi Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu qala, kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ashadda haya'an min al-azra fi khidriha. Collected by al-Bukhari and Muslim. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was more shyer than a virgin in her house. And the connection between being shy and good character is that many of the ulama, they showed that good character basically all stems around the issue of shyness and modesty. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he says in his Al-Aqidatu Wasatiyyah, ويدعون إلى مكارم الأخلاق ومحاسن الأعمال ويعتقدون معنى قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم أكمل المؤمنين إيمانا أحسنهم خلقا. And then he comes down, I'm not quoting all of his statement. وينهون عن الفخر والخيلاء والبغي والاستطالة على الخلق بحق أو بغير حق ويأمرون بمعالي الأخلاق وينهون عن سفسافها وكل ما يقولونه ويفعلونه من هذا وغيره فإنما هم فيه متبعون للكتاب والسنة وطريقتهم هي دين الإسلام الذي بعث الله به محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم. Shaykh al-Islam, he says, and they call to good character and righteous deeds. They, referring to Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, they call to good character and righteous deeds. And they have as their aqidah the meaning of the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the believers with the most perfect iman are those with the best character. And then he comes down, as I'm skipping some of his statements, rahmatullahi alayhi, and they prohibit arrogance and being proud, and they prohibit transgression and thinking you're better than the people, or being harder on the people if somebody wrongs you than to wrong them more than they wronged you, or something like that, whether you have the right to do so or you don't have the right. And they command with high moral character. And they prohibit all the bad and evil character. and everything that they say and they do from this or from that, then in all of it they are following the book and the sunnah, or the Quran and the sunnah, and this is in all of the aspects of the character that they consider to be high moral character, that they are using as their judge the Quran and the sunnah, and their way is the deen of al-Islam, the religion that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent as a messenger with. And this statement of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullahi alayhi, we find it at the end of his book Al-Aqidatul Wasitiyya. Now remember our Shaykh that some of the brothers have met, Abdul Razak al-Abbad, when he was teaching us the Al-Aqidatul Wasitiyya, as we got to the end, he said, now the test comes. All of the little tests that we were going over the book, and then he was testing us to make sure that we knew the book, he said, this is the real test now at the end of the book. Whosever aqidah is salafiyya and correct, then the proof of it is in his character. And whoever's character doesn't exemplify the character of Ahl Sunnah, then it's proof that something isn't right in his aqidah. And I remember that some of the brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, were questioning as if, well, we got that chapter down in the aqidah, and we got that chapter down in the aqidah. The Shaykh said, I don't know what chapter you got down, but if your character isn't exemplified from in light of the Quran and the Sunnah, or you don't exemplify the character of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in general, then it's obvious that something was missing in those chapters of the aqidah, and you didn't get it, because if you did, then you would be from amongst the people who exemplified the high moral character and called to it, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did, and Ahl Sunnah does in general. I just wanted to end this off, inshallah, the statements of the Quran and the Sunnah as reminders to us. If we reflect back to the beginning of these statements, that as the time goes on, the people will get worse. And we've been commanded to be upon the best character. But because of the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, some of us are not going to be on that character. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. But when the people are upon that bad character, then the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam had given us some guidance. And his statement, مَنْ رَأَى مِنْكُمْ مُنْكَرًا فَلْيُغَيِّرْهُ بِيَدِهِ فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِلِسَانِهِ وَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِقَلْبِهِ وَذَلِكَ أَضْعَفُ الْإِيمَانِ. From the hadith of Imam Muslim, or the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, whoever from amongst you sees a wrong, then let him change it with his hands, and if he's not able to, then with his tongue, and if he's not able to hate it in his heart, and that's the weakest part of al-Iman. And on the authority of Qais ibn Hazm, rahmatullahi alayhi, قال, قام أبو بكر فحمد الله وأثنى عليه ثم قال, يا أيها الناس إنكم تقرؤون هذه الآية يا أيها الذين آمنوا عليكم أنفسكم لا يضركم من ضل إذا اهتديتم وإنا سمعنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إن الناس إذا رأوا المنكر وفي رواية إن الناس إذا رأوا الظالم فلم يأخذوا على يديه. And then we go back to this narration, لا يغيرونه أوشك أن يعمهم الله بإقابه. Qais ibn Hazm rahmatullahi alayhi says that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he stood up and he praised Allah in a manner that was befitting for him to be praised, and then he said, O people, I see that you are reading this ayah. O you who believe, I advise you to concern yourselves with yourselves. Those who have gone astray can't harm you so long as you're guided. And indeed we heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, indeed the people, if they see a wrong and they don't change it, or in the other narration, if the people see an oppressor and they don't stop him, then Allah will let his punishment encompass all of them. I wanted to say this to relate it to where we left off with the building of the community, and to remind myself and the believers that as we're trying to get things situated, we have to take into consideration these ayat and these hadith of the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. As nobody is going to be the imam, or the muazzin, or the treasurer, or the maintenance person of the masjid, or to hold any other position of authority amongst the Muslims, if he doesn't exemplify the character of Ahlul Sunnah. And perfection is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the believers, and this is my recommendation for myself and the believers, and Allah knows best, that they choose the people as the people are being chosen for positions of leadership amongst the Muslims, or to be in charge of certain aspects of the organization of the believers, that it's important that the people are being charged, are being chosen, that they exemplify the aqidah and the character of Ahlul Sunnah. And this is real important for the believers, because if you don't take this thing into consideration, then you might fall into what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was warning the believers from in the famous story of Fatima al-Makhzumiyyah, when she got busted stealing. And they sent Usama ibn Zayd ibn Haritha radiallahu anhuma, the Hubbi Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the beloved son of the beloved of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to intercede on her behalf. Ya Rasulullah, the lady is from the Quraysh. How in the world can you cut off a Qurayshiyah's hand and let that word spread that somebody from the noble tribe of Quraysh got busted stealing and got their hand cut off? And the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, he made it very clear in his statement, of which means, I swear by the one whom my soul is in his hands, if Fatima, the daughter of Muhammad, got busted stealing, then I would have cut her hand off. And this is important for us to understand this, because it's going to be known that some of the brothers, for lack of better words, are cooler than other brothers. You know him, or he's closer to a certain crew. And if we don't watch it and pay attention to these ayat and hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we might think that because he's cooler than the next one, that he has more right to that position than the next person. And if we let this type of injustice creep into the beginning of the community, the beginning of building the community, it'll never get started. Like building about a bad foundation, you're never going to be able to put anything on top of it. And one of the things that we have to be very careful of, and this has plagued us as American Muslims, unfortunately, for a long time, and this is the issue of bad character. And sometimes, even I hate to mention the examples, that sometimes the people seem to have taken it out of place, as some of the imams have taken some of my statements out of place or out of context in the past, by saying that I make statements that would suggest that the people should be disobedient to the leadership. And I don't know how I could have made any statements that suggest anyone should be disobedient to the leadership, as I've called, alhamdulillah, oftentimes to the ayat and the hadith and the statements of our Salaf al-Saleh around the importance of obedience to the leadership. But at the same time, as the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, had spoken about ignorant leadership, there's no escape from us speaking about that which the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, spoke about. But this time, inshallah, I'll clarify at the beginning so that nobody misunderstands it, inshallah ta'ala. Some of the imams have got busted snorting and selling cocaine. And after the bid, was chosen back again as the imam. He knows the most. You know more than him? You recite better than him? You know the Arabic better than him? How are you going to be the imam over top of him? This is a real example, and there are other examples that might not be as serious as this example, but the examples are there, where the imams have gotten busted sleeping with women, fornicating and committing adultery with the wives of brothers in his masjid. And when the thing came out and everybody knew, then the brothers who he didn't hit their wives, they were saying, if you stupid enough to let the imam get your wife, then that's on you. But he's the most knowledgeable one from amongst us of the Quran and the Arabic and the deen, and nobody has more right to be the imam than him. And he remained as the imam, and the people went with him. And that community fell, alhamdulillah, rabbil alamin. And the first one fell too, alhamdulillah, rabbil alamin. And there are other examples of the imams doing things that might not be on that level, but might be close to that level. Like many of the imams have robbed the believers blind of their money, unjustly. Took the money of the believers. Did whatever he want with it. And got busted. And then when the believers put him up on charges, he pleaded guilty. And they said, we accept your repentance. And he did it to him again. And we accept your repentance. And he did it to him again. And we accept your repentance. And he did it to him again. And we accept your repentance. And really, you can't count the times that the imams beat the people out of the money, because they're countless. And the people, this is one of the mistakes that the people always accept, their repentance, and to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself destroys the person. And this case, if I'm mentioning one of the cases that I know, and the imam was finally finished. Alhamdulillah. This is just the case of the imam, and then the other people, if you wanted to go to the security team and the crimes that they committed, like with the security team who sometimes privy to very confidential information, like what goes on between a man and his wife, because they have to come to the house and deal with the case. Sometimes that information that should be held confidential and kept with the people, they let it go out. And then when it comes back to them, they say, so what? You never talked? At any rate, inshallah, I won't do it again. Inshallah, I won't do it again. Okay, the brother repented and we accept his repentance. Until the security team is on another mission and the same thing happens again. And they say, they're human just like everybody else. Why can't their repentance be accepted? And then the security team might marry the sister. Marry your wife from you. pull you off of beating her up. Plant some seeds. And you find out you can't come back home no more. And next thing you know, that the brothers who are handling your case live in your place. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gets in control, and what he has decreed overtakes the people, and then those type of security people are removed. Wallahi, sometimes I hate to have been privy myself to some of these examples that I'm mentioning. But if we don't watch the life of these ayat or hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam around the character, then we'll get fooled as other failures have gotten fooled. He's cool with us. He knows the most from amongst us. He the imam. He's the in charge of the security, or whatever, from the status of the people. or the way that the people look at him or view him, that they overlook and overlook and overlook when it's not proper to overlook. Until the people are destroyed because of their overlooking. As we were mentioning in this ayah, and the explanation of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, concern yourselves with yourselves. If you didn't get busted, what you worrying about me for? Because if we don't deal with you, then what comes to you might come to us. And this is important for us to understand in the early parts of building the community so that favorism don't come over top of the deen. And this is real common amongst us, and I don't know if it's something in the African-American blood or something, but that this favorism has destroyed Muslim masjids before. And don't think your masjid is too good to be destroyed. Masjids are better than this have been destroyed. And we should never think that something is too good to be destroyed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed Pharaoh. And people today still are amazed at the pyramids. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed them and let it their remains be behind as a sign to us. See how great and magnificent they were? I destroyed them. Nah. So how could somebody think that his masjid is too good to be destroyed? Or his imam is too big to be humbled? Or his sheikh is too knowledgeable to be destroyed or finished? This is easy for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if the people don't watch what they need to watch of the good character that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam set and he called us to. And this might be, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, as many of the people have complained, and I hope nobody gets mad at me with this statement, that the brothers in Philly are a little too wild. And their character sometimes is way out of place. That's for the brothers in Philly. In general, with the statement, the Salafi brothers are no exception. And now that we're in-house, amongst ourselves, we can advise ourselves, let's get ourselves together. Because it's okay when the debate is between Salafi and Khalafi. We're going to defend the Salafi. And all of his bad points we're going to talk about tomorrow. Because right now it's time to defend the Haqq. But today is tomorrow. Today is tomorrow. And if we have some bad points with ourselves, we have to advise ourselves sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to leave that alone. And many of the people have complained, and I'm amongst the people on the list. Almost every time I've come to Philadelphia, I felt that somebody had disrespected me, or that somebody was way out of place with his character and the way that he dealt with me. Whether it was inconsideration on the small side or something larger than that, of which I thought should be far from the brothers who adhere to the manhaj of our Salaf al-Saleh from amongst the Sahaba and the Tabi'un and the Tabi'een and the scholars of this deen. But really what I wanted to relate this to was the issue of building a community and always being mindful of this character and the way it plays on choosing the people in leadership position in the masjid or the people who will be handling some of the affairs of the Muslims or who will be the responsible brothers amongst the community, that there's no escape from taking character into consideration. And if you don't take it into consideration, then the examples are more than what I mentioned. And you can go on and mention the examples, and then this will be one of the examples that we mention in the future. Wallahi, we remember when the people of falsehood were trying to stand in the way of the da'wah ul haq. And you should have seen how they made fools of themselves trying to stand in the way of this haq. While Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted the truth to be known and to be in charge, and it was. And then the people let favorism and bad character destroy them. That was a masjid, I don't want to mention its name, like the ones I mentioned before, but it will be Germantown Masjid. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless this masjid and the people in this masjid, and help those who are in charge of the affairs of the Muslims for this masjid, and bless them and everybody here with good, high moral character, that which was set by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that which he called to, and that which has been authentically reported on him, alayhi salatu wasalam. There was one other point, and I'm just forgetting that point. Anyway, maybe it might come up if there were any questions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, and this is what we wanted to present. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. I don't know if there were any comments or questions. No.
The ayah concerning
let's wait till we finish, inshallah.
I just wanted to know what the Surah
ayah that was. That's from Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse 105 or something like that. I remember the point I wanted to mention. I remember personally when I first became the Imam in East Orange, that I set a policy that whoever doesn't make two salat in the masjid 7 days a week can't hold any position in the masjid, from sweeping a broom or anything else. When I made that statement in what they call the board meetings, people were saying, everybody don't have to be in the masjid all day like you. We got jobs. So I said, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you in your jobs and in your families. You fired on this one. That's the policy. And whoever don't like my policies, come back to the people and say, we don't want him to be the Imam. And just because of his opposition and him being fired, now we say three times in the masjid. Three salats. And I remember one of the brothers, he said to me, you're going to be a failure. Mark my words. One of the brothers who got fired. You're going to be a failure. Mark my words, Abu Muslimah. I'm going to see how you run this masjid without my expertise. All we could say was, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Because for a surety, the brother's expertise is no discussion. He was in the financial capacity. And the brother, mashallah, his background was as thorough as anyone could be in managing and running any type of money. But we're going to run our deen in accordance to the Quran and the Sunnah and this high moral character on no experience, inshallah ta'ala. And alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us and favored us, and things have been going okay with no accountants, for lack of better words, or people with that type of experience. Because what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do is, will send someone with character and the same experience or better to replace him. When you don't get down with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen, Allah will replace you. Today, you know the most Arabic, and you know the most Quran, and you know the most issues in Islam. That's today. But because of your character, Allah is going to send somebody better than you. And I hope that one of the brothers, from the examples that took place right here already, that the brother listens and understands, we don't need you ever. We don't need you ever. Don't talk no more. Don't come and apologize. Don't say you repented, you saw forgiveness. We got too many examples of people like you that sunk our ships. Allah is going to bring people better than you. And if you don't believe it, I believe it. I believe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen that I accepted is better. Is better than having a brother say, I was only laying on the bed kicking it with her. I didn't actually commit the act of zina. And you make sure that you narrate that story on me correctly. Now it's on tape and it's said, and you can see if the narration is correct or not. I was laying on the bed kicking it with her. Haram to him. His own statement, not somebody else's statement. His own statement. How in the world is somebody going to ask me, after that, should I still teach classes? What kind of religion do we think this is? We think this is a street religion? Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in need of people who can lay on the bed and kick it to a lady who is haram with. Them the people we need to teach us Islam? If y'all need people like that to teach you Islam, I don't need nobody like that to teach me Islam. Ignorance is more beloved to me than having to follow somebody who don't represent his deen like he's supposed to. Because Allah is going to replace them with other people. Whoever don't get on Allah's deen like he's supposed to, Allah is going to replace them and bring somebody else. Were you patient? That destruction is more beloved to us, or a temporary high is more beloved to us than being patient with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what He has decreed for us? Maybe Allah want to test the people as some of the examples we mentioned. We're going to work with the brother until Allah send us something better. How Allah going to send you something better? That's what you're working with. Like the brother is saying, I got to get myself together. Come to the masjid. I got to get myself together first. How are you going to get yourself together? We're waiting for Allah to send someone to us. This is what we're doing right now. Wallahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is easy for Him to destroy whoever He wants to. And it's easy for Him to replace whoever He wants to. And I hope inshallah ta'ala that I am the first one who is admonished by these words before anyone else. This character is serious. And watch your characters because it might just finish you. Watch your characters. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can finish you, and He's finished people who are better than you who came before you. And don't think that one incident ain't big enough to be destroyed, because people have been destroyed for one incident. Naam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lets some of the people go as He does. He leads you in and He lets you go for a couple. I got over on that, it was good. Go back again. I got over on that, go back again. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just hang you. The imams who took the money from the people unjustly, it felt good in the beginning. He know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching. Next to people. أَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَرَى. Doesn't he know that Allah sees? Next, if we bust you. You know Allah bust you stealing the money from the people. But it was so good to you, you tried it again. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made you busted in front of the people. If Allah lets you get away, you should have repented before you get busted. Because when you get busted, you're going to get finished. And nowadays is the time when people are getting finished. This manhaj al-salafi walhamdulillah is coming. People were faking it and sliding by for a long time. They dropping to the side now. A lot of people were faking it and it was good. They ain't around doing that stuff no more. Because the people wiser now, alhamdulillah. And when the people get wiser and understand more of Islam, then Islam's going to be practiced a little better. And the better it's practiced, that means the less will be tolerated. Kicking it yesterday was cool. I was only laying on the bed with her kicking it after midnight. That's all, I ain't put it in. You could have got away with that yesterday. Tell me how you're going to get away with it today with us on this minhaj.
Tell me how you're going to get it. Where are you going to run with that when people on this menhaj? It was okay when you were tricking people 15 years ago. It was acceptable. Because everybody was fornicating and stuff. This month, you bring your girl to Jumu'ah. It was okay. A lot of people brought their girls to Jumu'ah. Put this on, baby. She was in there. She wasn't Muslim. It was all cool. Nah, wallahi. People was right on the corner selling drugs. Come off the corner in the masjid. Drop some money. Listen to the khutbah. Eat at the Muslim place. And then go back to the corner. And everybody knew it. And it was okay. Tell me how that's okay today. What was okay yesterday ain't okay today. And some of the stuff that's okay today ain't even going to be okay tomorrow. And may Allah bless us. I don't know if there was anything else.
Yes, sir. Nah. In reference to character, the basis of good character, would it be having real faith in Allah?
Yes, the issue of character, as we have mentioned in some of the texts of the hadith, that character is coupled with the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nah. As we were even mentioning the case of the Shaykh al-Islam, showing that one of the signs that your belief is correct and intact is your character. No. But it doesn't mean that everybody whose character is good, is belief is correct, but it is one of the signs of having correct belief. Yes.
How is it that people get firmness in the deen, as you know, that you've been accused of on many occasions, for being firm, and they get that confused, and other people, you know, of your sort, they get that confused and the firmness of the deen a bad character. Because I've seen even in lectures that people have made mention about, you know, your character, and they related to maybe positions that you've taken, or people like you have taken, you know, and they related, you know, to bad character, or, you know, his character that he should be having. You know, how do you relate that? Or how do we understand that?
Ma'am, I wanted to mention that and then I said maybe I shouldn't. With the issue, which oftentimes, not just myself, but the people who adhere to the Quran and the Sunnah and the way of the Salaf al-Saleh, they call the adherence to the Quran and the Sunnah and the way of the Salaf al-Saleh as bad character. Not tolerating foolishness means bad character because you're supposed to overlook. It was only laying down in the bed kicking it with the girl in the middle of the night who was haram to him. And he married, and he understands. I mean, that's possible. I mean, you can't overlook that. Don't you want Allah to overlook as He overlooked your jahiliyyah and guided you to Islam? And the people sometimes, they confuse the issues. But Shaykh al-Islam, he made something very clear in his statement that made me wanted to mention this, and then I backed away from it. And that is, he said, and in this and that, we are following the Kitab and the Sunnah. What's going to be labeled as bad character is that which the Quran labels as bad character. What's going to be labeled as bad character is that which the Sunnah labels as bad character. Laying down on the bed, kicking it with a lady who's haram in the middle of the night is labeled as bad character because the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, Al-Ainani Tazniyani wa zinahuma nazar. And the rest of the parts, the body parts of the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, the two eyes commit zina and their zina is looking. So what's going to be bad character is that which the Quran and the Sunnah labels as bad character. We're in America and we're confused because this is the way of the American way. This is the American way. That the criminal is the victim, and the victim is the criminal. It's always been like that, and I guess we just learned it since we've been small, and then we just bring it right over to Islam, and we think that it's going to be accepted. Or that if we push it out, that it might make the people back up. The people, they throw it out to think that we're going to tolerate their bid'ah now. The people think that their bid'ah is going to be okay because they said, that's bad character, you being too harsh. The Prophet ﷺ wasn't harsh. Or when they doing something in opposition to the Sunnah, that they were mistaken, and we go up to correct them nicely and softly and gently, they want to persist on that, and then you say, you stay on that, you want to set yourself up for this. Then they say, see, That's that bad character. We're going to say that you're wrong when you're wrong. And we're going to say it's bid'ah when it's bid'ah. And we ain't going to tolerate this bad character from people in responsible positions. Don't understand or understand. Like it or don't like it. Get it or don't get it. We're going to stand on this haq, inshallah, tabarak wa ta'ala, whether the people get it or don't get it. Because this deen, alhamdulillah, is clear. But our desires make us act like we don't understand. When you present Islam, just like when you present Islam to the kafir, he says, I don't understand what you're talking about. It's okay. Deal with your Lord, inshallah, yawm al-qiyamah. You don't understand, la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, inshallah, you're going to understand. And that's the same way with this point. We have to stand on what's correct. And sometimes the people are not going to like it, but I don't know what else we can do for you. I don't know what else we can do for you if you don't understand. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. But this cry is going to be a cry that's going to be ongoing. Every time somebody's put in place, he wronged me. Wallahi, it was too harsh. Wallahi, it was out of place. That ain't right. The Prophet ﷺ wouldn't have did it. Well, and all the way to the end of it. You should have thought about that before you was on what you was on. Nah. I know I'm going to be considered being hard, somebody laying in the bed in the middle of the night kicking it with a lady haram to him. I'm going to be considered as being too harsh, too rough, should have overlooked, should have forgave. Prophet Salah wouldn't have did it. That's not the way of the Salah. This is the Islam. I understand. This is what I'm standing on. I ain't tolerating that for myself or my family or anybody who I'm responsible for, inshallah. Tabarak wa ta'ala, understand it, who understand it and don't understand it, or don't understand it. And I hope Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes me from amongst the humble and saves me from being amongst the arrogant. Wa subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk, walhamdulillah.